Well, it's really a great occasion to be together. It's not often that we get a chance to share a Sunday morning together as a whole assembly. We have families going to Sunday school classes and children here and teachers there, and it's really a nice thing to be able to join together and appreciate what it is that we'll be able to rejoice in this morning. We're going to read a few scriptures, and I'd like to start by turning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. If you're using the Chapel Bible, it's on page 1543 that we'll be reading from. And we'll be reading the last three verses of this Gospel. Matthew, chapter 28. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, and now the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples just shortly before he returns to heaven. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And we have the word added. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew is the Gospel of the Lord's authority. It is introduced by telling us of the Lord Jesus, who is the Son of David and also Son of Abraham. And it closes with this affirmation that it's not just as Son of David that the Lord Jesus has authority. He says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." And in this authority, he sent those disciples of his out into the world with this message, to make other disciples. And in discipling them, they would be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to, I'm just going to point something out now and we'll come back to it. This word "in," some translations have the word "into." It's not just inside of something, but it's moving into a new identity. The different words for "in" that are translated in the word in our English language, but the original language has a couple of different little nuances, and one is sort of like just you're resting in a place. But this is that word "into," baptizing them into or unto the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. So there would be discipling that would include the step of baptism and then teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. There would be spiritual progress after one would become a disciple, would enter on this pathway of discipleship. And the Lord Jesus, who possesses all authority, has given us this instruction as his people to baptize those who are his own, to teach them that he has a way, he has a path. And even better than his commandments, if I might say, is the fact that he says, "I am with you always." We sang that hymn, that chorus just now, that there's no turning back. And why is it? How can we say that there would be no turning back? It's because we have the Lord Jesus as our object, as our focus, the one who's in front of us, the one who said, "I have all authority," but the one who said, "I'm with you. I'm right here. I'm walking along with you." He's in heaven. He's glorified there in heaven, but also he says, "I am with you always." And now I'd like to turn to the book of Acts, read a few scriptures in the book of Acts that grow out of this. Acts chapter 8, first of all, page 1691. We meet here the disciple Philip, not one of the original 12 disciples, but a follower of the Lord Jesus, an evangelist. And because of persecution in verse 4, we're told that many believers left Jerusalem and were scattered in many places. And Philip, in verse 5, went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Verse 12, and they in that city, they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. In fact, some translations here say he preached the good news. The word preach is he evangelized, he announced the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And both men and women were baptized. A little further in chapter 8, Philip is sent out into the desert. Verse 26, the angel of the Lord tells Philip to go along a different road towards Gaza. And this is a desert area, we're told. And so he arose and went, and a man of Ethiopia is there traveling in a chariot. He's a man of great influence and authority. He is a palace official for the queen of Ethiopia. The New Testament Ethiopia is where Sudan is today. And so here's a, we might say in our language, a Sudanese man who is traveling back to his home area. And he's reading Isaiah the prophet, verse 28. And Philip is instructed to go near to that chariot. The Spirit tells him in verse 29. And Philip, in verse 30, hears him reading the prophet Isaiah and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man says, "I can't. Nobody's guiding me." And so, verse 35, Philip opens his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Chapter 9, Saul, the persecutor, is on his way to Damascus, and he is halted in his tracks by the Lord Jesus himself appearing in glory. And Saul is blinded, and Saul is brought to Damascus, where he was going as a persecutor, but now he's there as a blinded man, dependent only on the Lord. And a Christian there named Ananias is sent by the Lord to speak to Saul. And so, verse 17, Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And in chapter 22 of Acts, we won't turn there, but the apostle Paul, as he becomes known as Paul, he remembers this event where Ananias comes and says, "Brother Saul, the blessings of the love of God that's going to be expressed between believers is expressed to him from Ananias." And in Acts chapter 22, Paul still remembers Ananias himself said to Paul, "And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized." And so there's another baptism. In chapter 10, one more. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, is instructed to send for Peter. An angel tells him this, to send for Peter. Peter comes to the house of this Gentile man and begins to preach the gospel. In verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." And as we're told in verse 43, Peter says, "To him all the prophets witness," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins, forgiveness of sins." And then those who hear Peter believe. And Peter says in verse 48, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And I've read these successive scriptures, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, to show that the New Testament hardly knows what it means to be a believer who's not baptized. This is what we do as believers, because we have heard the voice of the Lord Jesus, who has said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." And so when Philip was preaching, those who heard were baptized. When the Ethiopian heard the message, how long was he a believer? A few minutes before, he understood that the message of Jesus was the message of forgiveness and salvation. And he says, "Look, why can't I be baptized? We're coming to some water. I don't know when the next water is going to be. We're traveling through the desert. I want to be baptized right now." Okay, that's what happened. It was a big city in one of the cities of Samaria where Philip was. Probably many people saw. When the Ethiopian was baptized, only two people saw, himself and Philip. And heaven was a witness that this man's life was also different. And in chapter 9, the man who was a persecutor, who is now a believer, is told by Ananias, "What are you waiting for? Be baptized." And Peter comes to the house of Cornelius and he commands them to be baptized. Can anybody forbid water? These have believed the same message that we have. And so we have the authority of the Lord Jesus, but we also have the model of the early church, the early believers who recognized that this was such a beautiful and significant, and in fact, we might say necessary way to display a new allegiance, a new course, a new path, that they were going to be walking on the path with the one who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," but also the one who has all authority. I'd like to turn for one more scripture that will linger on a little longer, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We have here an illustration of baptism. It's on page 1764 in the Chapel Bible. 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10 form one unit. There is a question that's been raised from the Corinthians for Paul to answer regarding what should they do regarding food that has been offered to idols. As Christians, could they eat such food? And, you know, it sounds like it's a yes or no answer, but it turns out to be something that he takes three chapters to address. But that's not the purpose of looking at this chapter today. Instead, we want to focus on this illustration of baptism in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul says to the Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren," verse 1, "I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." This is a rather unusual expression. I don't know of any other place in the scriptures where this moment, where the children of Israel are following Moses as he leads them through the Red Sea, I don't know of any other scripture which really uses this language of baptism to express what is taking place. But what is it that's taking place here? And why is baptism, why is that the word used here? The baptism, it's just an ordinary Greek word, really. It's not a religious word in its normal usage. It's a word that you would, if you were going to dye some cloth, you would baptize the cloth in the dye and the color that you were using. It was used to speak about a ship that sank at sea. The ship was baptized in the sea. It sank under the water. It's really just a word meaning immersed or dipped. And yet, what's happening here? Why is this moment spoken of as saying that they were baptized? And notice the New King James says it here, into Moses. It's the same word as we looked at in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. They're baptized into Moses by the cloud and by passing through the sea. Now, what had happened in the life of the children of Israel before this point? They had been enslaved to the Pharaoh. They had been oppressed in the land of Egypt, and they had no ability to choose anything for themselves. They were under hard bondage. They were given hard tasks. There was no peace for them. And now, the Lord, by the Passover lamb, the thoughts that we enjoyed this morning, they have been preserved from judgment by the Passover lamb, by the sacrifice of that Passover lamb. But what if the lamb was sacrificed, and then the next day they wake up, and they're still in Egypt? Well, we were preserved from judgment, but here we are. We're still trapped in the land of Egypt. That's not where God wanted to leave his people. And so he also intends to make it clear that they are his people. They don't have to listen to the Pharaoh anymore. He's taken them out of that situation. He is delivering them from that old allegiance of, or their old, not that they had allegiance that they loved, but they were had forced allegiance to the land of Egypt and to the Pharaoh. They didn't love the Pharaoh. But the Pharaoh had say in everything they did. But now God has sent a deliverer. He has sent Moses. And there was a pillar of cloud, some kind of pillar-shaped cloud that was not too far above them that they could see. And it was actually protecting them from the Egyptians as the Egyptians pursued them when they left the land of Egypt. It was between the Egyptians and the people of Israel. And it was giving light to them. But then also it was a reminder, an indication of God's own presence. It was his presence. And they had nothing to do with that. God sent his presence with them. They didn't do something to earn that. God simply said, I am with you. But there was something that they did have to do. God said, now you're going to pass through the Red Sea. I'm going to hold the waters back, but you're going to follow Moses through the Red Sea, through the walls of the water that are being held back. But without that holding back of the water, it was the place of death. And they went through on dry land because the deliverer was going in front of them. And now, where is their identification? Who is their leader? Well, it's Moses. But for us, we recognize it's not really Moses the man. It's Moses as representing the Lord himself. Moses, a picture for us of the Lord Jesus. We follow him through the place of death. He himself has passed through death and experienced all the judgment of God. But we are said to have died with Christ. Now, we are not only delivered from the judgment that came upon the land of Egypt. We're not only protected by the blood of the Lamb. We have a new allegiance. We have a new leader. We have a new path. And we're going to be traveling through a desert world. This is true of every believer, whether we have been baptized in water or not. But this outward display says, I am going to take my place as someone who has changed allegiances. I'm not going to be subject to Pharaoh anymore. I'm not going to look for my satisfaction in Egypt anymore. I have a new path. I have a new leader. I'm going to be baptized unto Christ, unto the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's my allegiance. And those who will be baptized today are going to acknowledge outwardly what the Lord has already done for you and for all of us who are his inwardly, to translate us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, the Son of his love. We have a new allegiance. Now, the rest of this chapter actually shows all the failings of the people of Israel. With most of them, God was not well pleased. Yes, you know how many most is? All but two. Because their bodies fell in the wilderness. Some of them were not even the Lord's. They were just pretending. Some didn't live by faith. But I want to point out, as a final encouragement for those who are being baptized today and for all of us, look at verse 13, middle of the verse. God is faithful. Verse 12 says, if you think you stand, watch out. This is not a moment of self-confidence for any one of us. We don't say, well, now I'm baptized. I'm going to transform the world. I'm going to conquer the world for Christ. I'm a baptized Christian. Well, the old self is still the old self. The temptations of the desert are still the temptations of the desert. It does not mean that we are bad Christians if we realize that there are temptations. Because the Christian in verse 13 says, there's temptations. And everybody has them, but God is faithful. And in baptism, we say, O Lord, you who have given yourself for me, I acknowledge that I have a new path and a new head, a new leader, a new authority. And I declare that, and I'm going to trust in the faithfulness of the one who declares himself faithful all through the desert. We'll pray, and then I'll explain a little bit more about the logistics of the baptism, just for our knowledge of what's to come. But let's give thanks to the Lord at this time. Dear Lord Jesus, we hear your words of love and also authority to your own, that you've sent them out into a world that has rejected you, and you've sent us out as well to live in expressing, displaying the allegiance that we now have for the one who has loved us and given himself for us. We ask that you will bless those three who will be baptized today. guide them, encourage them, instruct them in your ways. And for each of us, those who have been baptized, those who have not, that we would also acknowledge your authority, Lord Jesus, in our lives, day by day, to live for you, to live like you, and to find all our satisfaction in that spiritual food which is provided for us from heaven, that spiritual drink that is provided for us from yourself, that rock that is in the desert. We give our thanks to you, Lord Jesus, for your faithful love. Our God and Father, we commit one another to your care, and we give thanks for an occasion like this. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.